بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن جابر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من قال حين يسمع النداء اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدت حلت له شفاعتي يوم القيامة، رواه البخاري. This hadith, we discussed it already in two sessions. Just the last portion of the hadith remains. Just to recap, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that person who says, whenever he hears the azan. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us what is famously known as the dua after azan. And based on this and the previous ahadith, we learn that with regards to the azan, there are certain injunctions. One is, when the azan is called out, we should be listening carefully to the words that the muazzin is reciting in the azan. And thereafter, as he is reciting it, to repeat the words of the azan. Besides Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala falah, there we will read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. As to the significance of the azan itself, like I said, we discussed this quite in detail. And the dua itself, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'wati tamma, O Allah, who is the Rabb of this complete and perfect da'wat and invitation, wa salatil qa'ima, and the salah which is about to be established. Grant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aati Muhammadan il wasila, grant him wasila, wal fadila, great virtue, wa ba'athu maqaman mahmood, and raise or elevate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to maqaman mahmood. All this we discussed previously. Raise and elevate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to maqaman mahmood, which you promised him. Just to recap, this addition is found in other ahadith. Innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. Verily, O Allah, you never ever go against that which you promised. Three things we ask for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dua of azan: wasila, which is a very very lofty station and position in Jannat; fadila, and Maqam-e-Mahmood. Maqam-e-Mahmood, we discussed the various sayings of the Mufassireen as to what that represents. Great virtue we are taught in this. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The one who will do this, in other words, listen to the azan carefully, respond to the azan, and thereafter recite this dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my intercession becomes halal. My intercession becomes promised for that person on the day of judgment. Why this is so significant? When it comes to the shafa'at and intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is what we call shafa'atul uzma, the general and the great and the lofty intercession that we discussed, that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and others were of the opinion that Maqam-e-Mahmood, the position of the general praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is Shafa'atul Uzma, the first shafa'at or intercession which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make in order for humanity to be saved from the anguish that will have become unbearable on the day of judgment, and where they will ask first the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and finally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to just ask Allah to begin the hisab and the reckoning, for the waiting to end, for the terror to come to an end, for the judgment to start. That is Shafa'atul Uzma. Then there is another shafa'at or intercession, which is what is referred to in this hadith and what Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised to those of his ummah who will fulfill this dua of after reciting after azan. And what is that shafa'at? The shafa'at and the intercession where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alluded to in many riwayat. Example, he said, خُيِّرْتُ بَيْنَ أَنْ أَدْخُلَ نِصْفَ أُمَّتِي الْجَنَّةِ وَبَيْنَ الشَّفَاعَةِ فَاخْتَرْتُ الشَّفَاعَةِ لِأَنَّهَا أَعَمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I was given a choice. Half your ummah enters Jannat, guaranteed, or shafa'at and intercession. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I chose shafa'at. لِأَنَّهَا أَعَمْ. Why? Because this is even more general, even greater than half the ummah entering Jannat. And then he said, some of you may think that this intercession is for the muttaqeen, for the pious, for those who worshipped Allah Ta'ala. He said, no, but it is lil-mudnibin, for the sinners of my ummah. It comes in some riwayat, lil-mutalawithin, for those who are drowning in sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will make sifarish and intercession for them on the day of judgment. However, we have to understand this sifarish, this intercession refers to intercession being saved from Jahannam and entering Jannat. Because he said, I was offered this sifarish, intercession, in other words, those that are doomed to Jahannam of the Ummah, to be saved from Jahannam and enter into Jannat. Entry into Jannat, even sifarish, even intercession, that cannot happen without the permission of Allah. We read in Ayatul Kursi, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِي. Who is there that can possibly intercede before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with Allah's permission? And one of the aspects, condition, whether it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or anyone else to intercede for someone, the condition is iman. If the person doesn't have iman, if the person dies on kufr, then there is no question of entry into Jannat. Condition for entering into Jannat is iman. Even can be a very, very low level of iman. Comes in riwayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go to Jahannam and he will remove from Jahannam that person in whose heart mithqalu habbatin min khardalin min iman. In whose heart there is like an atom's weight of iman in his heart, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make sifarish, intercede before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such a person. The point we are making is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you listen to the azan, what is azan? Azan is the greatest sabak in tawheed and iman. Allahu Akbar. All the basic principles of tawheed and iman, on the one hand, shahadat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, belief in akhirat, all this comprehensively and beautifully is found in azan. This is why azan is da'watu tamma. So when you listen to the azan, and when you repeat the words of the muazzin, what you are doing, you are actually repeating your sabak of iman. Allah's kibriyai, Allah's oneness, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And beautifully, we find it inextricably linked with this virtue that is found in this hadith. Rasulullah says, my intercession for you on the day of judgment will become halal. What does this mean indirectly? For you to receive the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for anyone to be saved from Jahannam and enter into Jannat, like we mentioned, the condition is iman. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you listen to the azan attentively and thereafter respond to it and thereafter recite this dua, halat lahu shafa'ati. What does it mean? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is promising this person that you will die as a Muslim. You will die with iman. Husne khatima, which is something every one of us should be desiring. We should be afraid of being deprived of iman before maut, because there is no greater loss. There is no greater loss that a person can experience or go through than leaving this world without iman. So we are taught this one very, very great virtue of listening to azan and reading the dua after azan, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you will get husn-e khatima. You are indirectly being promised maut on iman, that you will die as a Muslim, you will be saved from kufr. So, and you are being given the basharat and glad tiding of entry into Jannat. All that is contained in this expression, Hallat lahu shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah. On the day of judgment, my shafa'at, my intercession will become halal for this person. Why? Because he will have died on iman. Why? Because Allah will promise him Jannat. So great, great virtues are found in this dua, which should not be taken lightly. وعن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من قال حين يسمع المؤذن أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله رضيت بالله ربا وبمحمد رسولا وبالإسلام دينا غفر له ذنبه رواه مسلم. If we put these two ahadith together, we learn basically from sunnah, two du'as are taught that should be read after azan. Two du'as are taught to us that should be read after azan. And both the du'as are very, very simple, very, very easy. And obviously because of time constraints, we will have to continue. The hadith after this, in the first hadith we learn one great virtue of this. What is the great virtue? The shifa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, maut on iman, husn-e khatima, basharat and glad tidings of Jannat, as I just mentioned. And a second very, very great virtue, like I said, that comes in the next hadith. So we should take the trouble of giving ihtimam to this. Don't take the azan lightly. Azan is shara'il Islam. It's one of the symbols of Islam. And وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, this is the thermometer of the taqwa and the purity and the piety of the heart to honor the symbols of Islam. And one of the great symbols of Islam is azan. So to listen to the azan attentively, to respond to it, and to recite the dua after azan. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person who, whenever he hears the muazzin reciting the azan, thereafter reads this dua. What dua? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. رضيت بالله ربا وبمحمد رسولا وبالإسلام دينا. I bear witness that there is no deity besides Allah who is one. He does not have any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the slave and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I profess that I am content and happy with Allah as my Rabb, with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as my Nabi, and with Islam as my deen. So what is this? This is actually a mash or a muzakara or a reminder of the sabak of iman. Azan and iman are inextricably linked, like salah and iman are inextricably linked. So in these du'as we are actually reiterating our iman. And if you look at the words, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you are supposed to repeat that anyway. When the muazzin says in the azan, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, when you giving jawab or responding to the azan, you are supposed to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. But the preferred view is that after the azan again, when you read Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma, to read this also. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِمُحَمَّدْ رَسُولًا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. This is a Muslim Sharif riwayat. It's an authentic, sahih hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What will Allah give you? Second virtue. First virtue, we said, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, my shafa'at, my intercession will become halal for you. Second virtue is found in this hadith. Like I said, there's one more very great virtue, which we will discuss. Second virtue, غُفِرَ لَهُ ذَنْبُهُ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah will forgive all your sins. So after every azan, if you will practice upon this, غُفِرَ لَهُ ذَنْبُهُ, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, all your sins will be forgiven. Allah give us tawfiq.